The extra time many of us have spent at home this year created a search for things to do to pass the time. Reading is up during the pandemic by some accounts. E-book sales are up. Physical book sales are down a bit, no surprise, with many bookstores closed for at least a while. Right now, we'll explore a project to get books to people who just can't buy them because those people are locked up in jail or prison. The Rogue Liberation Library at Peace House in Ashland works to fulfill requests for books from inmates. Let's learn more about it. Two guests join us. Elizabeth Hallett is the Executive Director of Peace House. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And
thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Rose Goodwin is with us as well, Rogue Liberation Library founding volunteer. Welcome, Rose.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So as one of the founding volunteers, describe the situation, Rose, that led to the creation of the Rogue Liberation Library.
Sure. Well, we're one of many, many, many Books to Prisoners projects across the country. They've been going, I think, since about the 70s. The first one started in Seattle Washington. But as far as our project here in Ashland, we started this in 2018 at the Peace House. I was approached by somebody who had been actually kind of traveling with a really large library in his storage unit, looking for a place to start a Books to Prisons project. So I was working at the Peace House, and he approached me there looking for a place to home the library, and we started it together back then in 2018. And you know, there's just so many people in prisons across the country. They don't have access to books. You know, many times they just don't have access to the books that they want and need. So we send books to them. We send books to prisons in Oregon, California, Nevada, Idaho, and Texas, as well as federal prisons across the nation.
Are there commonly prison libraries, Rose?
Say that again?
Are there commonly libraries in prisons?
Yeah, you know, most libraries will have, or most prisons will have a library facility, but especially right now, most of them are closed, so the inmates don't actually have access to those prisons or to those libraries. And what we do is kind of different from, you know, having access to a prison library. We actually send the books directly to the inmates, and that's kind of one of the principles of Books to Prisoners projects, is kind of respecting that right for people to own their own books and have their own personal property. So there's kind of a distinction between what we do and what they have access to at their prison libraries, which a lot of times just don't have the books that they're looking for.
So there's some element of, this is something I can call my own. This is my book.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned many, many Books to Prisoners projects, and the person who was lugging a library around, was that library or collection of books created with a thought to making it into a Books to Prisoners project?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. He had been working with a project in West Virginia, where he's from, and he also was working with the Berkeley Books to Prisons project. So once he got here to Ashland, he'd been kind of accumulating these books along his way. And so, yeah, it definitely, he was looking for a home. Kai Saffron, one of the other founding volunteers, came with those books.
Kai came with the books?
Yeah.
Explain that. They were his books?
His name is Kai.
Yeah, so Kai Saffron, he had been gathering these books, building them up in the hopes of creating a Books to Prisons project in the Rogue Valley.
Okay. And so Elizabeth Hallett, when Peace House was seen as a potential place to house the project, what were the thoughts that ran through your head or the board's head?
Well, the project actually moved in before Peace House adopted it. And we gave them space, which is what Peace House has been known to do with a lot of different groups, sort of just shelter projects and people who are trying to get things done or people who need a place to meet. Finally, I just said to them, well, why don't you just become a project of Peace House? Because they weren't planning to become a nonprofit of their own, which is what sometimes happens when we shelter groups for a while. Then they evolve and they get into their own nonprofit status. And so what went through my head all along was, this is wonderful. It's about, Peace House is about social justice and supporting people that are struggling in various ways and need resources. And it seemed perfect, and I think we're all happy with the result. The one thing that did go through my mind is that Peace House has a library of books that are related to the peace movement. And we've all been challenged about how to fit all the books in the building in an appropriate manner. And that
we do have a lot of books.
Yeah.
So essentially two libraries then within one building?
Yeah. Well, there's a Quaker library upstairs too.
So. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're still in the book mode. We all like books.
All right. And for the folks who don't know Peace House, Elizabeth, can you give it to the folks who need to understand a little bit? I mean, your name, it says a lot, but let people know what the general sketch of things is.
That could take several directions. Well, we share the building with the Quaker Friends meeting, although we're separate organizations. We take responsibility for that building space together, and we started in 1982, and some Quaker Friends were involved in formation of Peace House, but we didn't have a home at that time. We moved into the building in the 1990s. But what we started with was trying to create a nuclear free zone during the nuclear freeze movement in the 1980s out of concern for the militarism that has continued over all these years to expand. And so we're always questioning, you know, what is the enormous amount of spending for weapons accomplishing compared to the social services and resources that people need in our country for health care and social services, mental health care, et cetera. So we've evolved over a period of time, but I'll say that one of the first things that Peace House did was to start Mayors for Peace, a chapter of Mayors for Peace, which is now in 163 nations, and it includes 213 Mayors for Peace organizations in cities in the United States. And that is to generate an awareness of nuclear war. And tomorrow is the 75th anniversary of the Hiroshima Nagasaki bombing. Mm-hmm. And mayors for peace all over the world are observing this and concerned about it. So that's where we started. And we've had various wars since then. And Peace House tends to advocate for us to go in the other direction and be more creative and less destructive. In 1982, we became we have a program called Uncle Food's Diner that started, which was to help feed hungry people. And that was a Tuesday community meal for about 27 years until the COVID hit, and we had to close the building that we were using to have our Tuesday meal at Wesley Hall. And then we hit the road and started serving meals four times a week, in conjunction with other groups here in Jobs for Justice and the Monday Meal. We've been able to provide meals 7 days a week for people who are houseless and also for people that are experiencing food deprivation who may have a home to live in. So we're delivering meals about 120 a day, 4 days a week, and we're about to hit 8,000 meals since the end of March.
Wow.
So that tells you something about some of our concerns. And we have a nice website at peacehouse.net. And people can look there, too, for more information.
I know we have two of your members coming in on Friday to talk about the Hiroshima Nagasaki 75th anniversary. So that's on our agenda for later on this week. We're talking to Peace House Executive Director Elizabeth Hallett and Rogue Liberation Library founding volunteer Rose Goodwin about the Rogue Liberation Library. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions, comments about the project and how it all works are welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Rose, I mean, are there specific kinds of books you tend to deal with for the Liberation Library?
Yeah, I mean, I get that question a lot. And, you know, the real answer is, you know, people in prison, they read all the same books that everybody else likes to read. So we get requests for all kinds of things. this last meeting that we had several requests for Norse mythology.
Mm-hmm.
That was a new one. but we definitely get a lot of requests for sci-fi series, thrillers, suspense, the stuff that's entertaining for sure. But on top of that, we definitely get a lot of requests for nonfiction. And that's an area where our library definitely is lacking a little bit. We could definitely use more donations of nonfiction books, things like how-to types of books. You know, people often start to learn new skills while mm-hmm. they're in prison. We got some requests for, like, how to bead, guitar playing books, things like that. And, of course, the dictionaries. We just recently put out a call for dictionaries because we 100% ran out of them, and we definitely get requests for dictionaries every single month. It's something that people really need. It's something that really builds, you know, people's ability to express themselves. A lot of people, you know, don't have great reading skills, don't have great writing skills, and that's something that's really important that people work on while they're incarcerated.
Okay, it's interesting to think about dictionaries in this time and age because, you know, so many people have internet access right at their hands or like
right.
just look up a word, but dictionaries still exist and still have lots
yes.
of uses for people who don't have that easy internet access.
Yeah, I mean, famously, you know, in Malcolm X's autobiography, he talks about teaching himself to read by copying a dictionary page for page. So that's something that, you know, that we think about a lot. Just it really is a vital resource for teaching oneself to read, for completing educational, like, GED programs. And all of these things, you know, reading in general and especially education and completing programs like that, they've all been shown to reduce recidivism. So as much as, you know, we're trying to help people, you know, read, you know, the latest sci-fi thriller, helping them, you know, learn to read, learn to write, and especially complete their education programs, which they do need dictionaries for, and those aren't always available for everybody to have their own personal dictionary. Those things will also decrease the chance that they're going to, you know, come back out into the world and commit another crime and end up back in prison.
We have a question from Alex in Ashland who didn't stay on the phone, but wants to know, how does one donate books to the program and other limitations to the donations that one can make? And I guess I'd make that either, but not just quantitative, but qualitative as well.
Yes, yes, that's a great question. So you can donate books by, you can bring them directly to the Peace House on Ashland Avenue, or excuse me, Mountain Avenue in Ashland, 543 South Mountain Avenue. We've got a big blue bin out there. And you can just bring books and drop them by 24 hours a day. You can also contact us through email, rogueliberationlibrary@gmail.com, and we can give you that address. We also will come out and pick those books up if necessary. And as far as what we can take, so that's a really important to consider because the prison facilities do have a lot of restrictions on what we're allowed to spend. So we only send paperback. And the books have to be in relatively good condition. We definitely can't send anything that has highlighting in it, lots of notes in the margins, and water damage is a really major thing that we have to avoid. Other than that, we do take in hardcover books if they're of value because we can use those to trade at local bookstores for books that we can send in. And what else? You know, I think that's it. You know, we want to send people good books. We want to send people, you know, books that they would want to read. So anything really outdated or just, you know, not super interesting, you know, we'll just end up bringing that to the Goodwill. So it's good to keep that in mind as well.
All right. It's kind of a wheeler-dealer operation you got going now, though. If you mentioned you can take the hardcover books, but not to send to prisoners, but to trade for books that you can send to prisoners.
Yeah. I mean, I grabbed a huge donation up in Grants Pass recently. It was probably about 20 legal boxes of books. Someone had Amazon book business going, and they stopped doing that, so they gave them all to us. And I took all of our discards, and we got about $40 in credit at the book exchange. So that's, you know, that's really helpful for us. You know, when we get really specific requests, like Norse mythology, for example, and we don't have something like that in stock. That's something a lot of our volunteers like to do. They like to take those specific requests and they'll go and find that book for that person. That's one of the the most exciting things when you come to one of our meetings is when you get to find, you know, that exact book that really matches someone's request. So that's a fun thing for volunteers to do as well.
Sure. Now, are you concerned at all, Elizabeth Hallett, about getting too many books? Because you mentioned having this library, the Peace House Library, and the Quaker Library upstairs all in one building.
Well, I never really described it that way to anybody else. It all seems to fit in there pretty naturally, except that we're looking for some more shelving. Once we have that, I think it's going to be fine. I don't worry about it because Rose and Kai have developed a really beautiful project, and they've got their team working, and there's movement. You know, the books move in and out, and I think that we're just very happy that it's happening. And the thing about our other the Peace House Library is that it's sort of a repository for a lot of literature around the peace movement that has evolved even from the 30s. There are books there that describe what Gandhi was trying to do, in his lifetime, coming forward. So we have a repository of thought about nonviolence. That's what's really important to me about hanging on to that library. There are some people who think that those are just dusty old books that should be discarded, but we've had discussions about that. And those of us who came up in the 60s look at the books that we have on nonviolence and the collection that's there with a lot of reverence, and we're sort of happy to keep hanging on to that. But we're delighted with what Rose and Kai and their volunteers are doing, and it's all working. I'm not worried.
Okay, good. We're talking about the Rogue Liberation Library here on the Jefferson Exchange. Elizabeth Hallett is the Executive Director of Peace House, which houses the library. Rose Goodwin with Kai Safran is one of the founding volunteers of the library and one of the major operators. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Questions, comments about how it works and how it's been working. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, you have mentioned a couple times now, Rose, about requests. Talk about the whole relationship process, how it gets set up.
Yeah, so the way it works, so people in prisons write directly to us, mostly handwritten letters. They find out about us either word of mouth. We've sent flyers into people, so people inside will share those, let their friends know about us. We're also listed in the PARC guide. That's the Prison Activist Resource Center guide. That's kind of a little newsprint guide that comes out every year that circulates throughout prisons in the U.S. So we're listed in there as a Books to Prisons project, and a lot of people find out about us there. And so they'll send us letters to our P.O. box, and they ask for specific books. We advise people in our PARC listing and on our flyer to let us know genres that they want in addition to actual titles and authors, just because our library is, you know, donation-based. We don't always have exactly what people want, but we want to kind of, fit their interests. So they let us know what genre they're looking for, the titles, the authors. And so we kind of accumulate a stack of letters every month. We'll get anywhere from 30 to 100 letters, and we'll bring those to our monthly meetings at the Peace House. We invite anybody can come to our open meetings. We do have a limit now on how many people we can have, of course, because of the virus. But we're having up to 10 people at our monthly meetings, and just for a few hours, we just go through each letter one by one, and we fill those requests. We pick out 2 to 3 books for each person. That's as much as a limit because of how many books a lot of facilities will actually allow us to send at a time, but also we just limit it to 2 pounds of books and just kind of to keep things cost efficient. It's $3.33 for each package of books that we send.
Well, this is right down to the penny for you guys. You know it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's our big cost is postage.
Rose, do you get letters back from the people you've sent books to? Do they ever send you thank you notes or anything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. We get cards. We get thank you notes. People just thanking us. I mean, people thank us initially in the request. They're just, a lot of people are just really, they're just really surprised that projects like ours exist that are thinking of them. and, you know, offering to send them something for free. So, we get thank yous in the request itself, and then people do send us cards sometimes or write us letters back as kind of a side project. It's not exactly our project. We do have someone who manages kind of a pen pal program.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come to one of our meetings, you can find out more information about that as well. So that's just actually a, kind of a letter writing relationship you can develop with people who want to engage with that. People thank us all the time, you know, just that, you know, they don't have really have anybody that's looking out for them. And just, you know, their gratitude that we do what we do.
So you mentioned at the outset that there are many, many, many books to prisoners programs. I mean, it seems like Amazon, a giant rich company, just as an example, could probably send a book to every inmate in the country and not dent its profits. So why does this come from small programs scattered about the landscape?
That's a good question. I think back when these started, you know, and I'm sure they started before the Seattle Books to Prisons, which I believe started in 75.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't things like Amazon, and I think people were just thinking about the importance of reading, and you know, I'm not sure what. I mean, I can't imagine prisons were, you know, looking anything like they do now. They probably were much worse. I mean, they may have not even had, you know, very decent libraries back then. It's a way to build community, I think, is a reason a lot of the Books to Prisoners projects do this. And it's a way to just kind of connect with people from a grassroots level, mm-hmm. you know, which is a lot different than just sending something through Amazon. And a lot of Books to Prisons projects also, they will specify in certain types of books or certain types of facilities, like only sending to women's prisons or doing LGBTQ, types of books and connecting with people in that community. So you can do a lot of, specific things connecting with specific communities that are incarcerated.
All right. The Rogue Liberation Library is the name of it, available via Gmail at roguelibrationlibrary@gmail.com. We also have a link to it from our website. Elizabeth Hallis, the Executive Director of Peace House, which houses the library. Rose Goodwin, one of the founding volunteers with Kai Safran. Thanks so much for joining us, Elizabeth and Rose.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Short break on the Jefferson Exchange, back with Marketplace Tech.